breathe amongst yourselves. Take a breath and keep breathing. As most of you know, I like to begin each and every one of my meditations with, "The Christ in me is awake now." We start with light. And we start with light so that we may see. The Christ in me is my light. With this, I see who I am and I see who you are. I see what I am, and I see what you are. With light, I see what is. With this anointing consciousness of the Christ awakened in me, I may know the truth and be set free. So those of you who care to, please affirm with me, the Christ in me is awake now. Beautiful. That I may know the truth, that which has no opposite. And in knowing this truth, I am set free. In knowing what is, all that knowing of that I cannot even describe. But I know it. As I place my faith and my trust in the Christ awakened in me, in the light awakened in me, I am knowing the truth. And in knowing the truth, I am set free. I am set free. Free from the bondage of self. Free from lack and limitation. Free from what isn't. I am free to know what is. The Christ awakened in me lets me know the truth and therefore sets me free. With that thought, with the trust in that thought, let's go on into the silence and hear the freedom. Let's go on in. The Christ awakened in me. It shows me the truth, and it shows me I am already free. So knowing that, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called Unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place. So it is. Amen. I don't know how many of you remember our friend Eric Shebeck, who sang here a few months ago, but he's back. Eric?
Hello, everyone.
under the snow, beneath the frozen streams, there is life. You have to know, when nature sleeps, she dreams, there is life. And the colder the winter, the warmer the spring, the deeper the sorrow, the more our hearts sing. Even when you can't see it inside everything, there is life. After the rain, the sun will reappear. There is life. After the pain, the joy will still be here. There is life. For it's out of the darkness that we learn to see, and out of the silence that songs come to be, and all that we dream of awaits patiently. There is life. Just when you thought that the icy cold would never end, it's spring. Just when you thought that you'd never hear the birds again, they sing. And the rivers will run, and the eagles will soar, and the flowers bloom brighter than ever before. Babies are born, night turns to morning, there are blue skies, and your heart flies. So open your eyes to the beauty all around, there is life. Let it surprise you, the smells, the sights, the sound. There is life. For love and adventure are waiting for you. There's so much to learn and there's so much to do. For now and for always, there's one thing that's true. There is life forever.
Imagine the thought that there is life and there isn't anything else. There's no opposite to life. We have a term, death and stuff, but that doesn't make it a reality. That makes it an experience. But the life is eternal. David wrote that for the Bambi 2. And there's a funny story, well, at least we think it's funny, about it. One of the executives said, well, life is not forever. And so that lyric doesn't make sense. And he didn't think to say it. I did when he told me about it. I said, well, Bambi's dead mother singing it. In the movie. I think there is life forever. Especially in animation. But it's one of my favorite of his songs. And it says so much. And because the visuals it brings up are so strong for me, that under the snow there is still life. Under some of my thinking, there is life. There, under our behaviors, there is life. And I think today I choose life, and I choose it more abundantly. And our theme for this month is faith. Of the 12 powers, faith sits in the middle of the brain there. And it's today I choose faith, and today I choose life, and I choose it more abundantly. But in choosing for faith, but what needs to go with it is trust. The two need to work together. And I, for a long time, assumed they were the same thing, but no. Faith and trust are not the same thing. An example is, I have faith that I could sing a song. I trust by singing it. I have faith that meditation works. If I trust it, I will do it. I was thinking of the ice, you know, I have faith that you can walk out on a frozen lake. I do not trust, so I don't do it. I believe you can be, I see people doing it. No, I don't trust that I can do that. Some of us know that we have faith that we could sing a song, but we don't trust that we could do it. Some of us have faith that we can have peace. Some of us don't trust that we can have it, and so therefore we do not do our part in creating it or recreating it. Some of us continue to character assassinate. It's hard to find peace in character assassination. It's very difficult. You can't. Let's face it. You cannot find peace if you are character assassinating a fellow human being, a fellow spiritual being. I get it. We don't like a lot of personalities. Anybody? Any issues with any personalities running around? Does that make them less than God beings? Hello, Selena's back there. No. And I'm working more diligently at remembering, oh, spiritual beings, God being. I don't like the behaviors. Behaviors scare me. Why? Because I don't trust. I don't trust in the behaviors, that God is stronger than the behaviors of a lot of people. I just don't trust. And I want to trust. I want to take my faith into the trust place. Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, when she was given 3 months to live back in 1884, she was given this diagnosis. And she had faith, you know, there has to be a solution here somewhere. She wasn't ready to let go. And she kept going to doctors who gave her the same diagnosis until she said, no more. No more. I've got to look elsewhere. I know there's more to this. So she trusted enough to go to a spiritual meeting of New Thought people. And at that meeting, she heard a man named E.B. Weeks say, as a child of God, I do not inherit sickness. And that resonated. She heard that in her cells. She heard that. And then she got some good advice that day. And that advice was, sit down. First, go home and apologize to your body for having called it sick. Once. Just once. More than that implies guilt. And guilt does not bring about health and well-being and peace. It brings about more sickness. And so she heard that, apologize once. And then every day you sit, you get quiet, and you apologize. No, you don't. I'm sorry, a little wonky. You sit, you get quiet, and you begin to praise. You praise all of your organs. You praise the function within them. You praise every cell, every tissue, every fiber of your being. And here's why. Our cells have intelligence, and they hear us. They hear what we're thinking, and they hear what we're saying. Now, she had faith that if I do this, I will get well. She trusted enough to do it. There's the difference. You know, how many people, I know meditation works, but I just don't have time. I know meditation works, but I can't get quiet. So we have faith that meditation is fabulous, but I'm not me. And then they miss out on the benefits. I trust that if I change my words, everything will shift. But I don't trust enough to change my words some days because I really like the attention I get from my cleverness. I trust the attention I get from how smart I am about how wrong I know things are. And I miss out on peace and joy and love in my system. I don't know if I can create peace on the whole earth, but I could certainly recreate it in my system. So Myrtle Fillmore, she was doing this every day. And what happened was she started to get well. And then one day she got signs of pneumonia. Her lungs started filling up. And it's like, I don't understand. I'm doing all this stuff. What am I supposed to do? She went into prayer. And that voice, we all have that voice within us. Do you know your voice that tells you the truth, that will never lie to you, that you sometimes trust and sometimes don't? Or sometimes you believe it's a real voice and sometimes you don't. The voice said, open up all the doors and windows of your house and clean it from top to bottom. And her first thought was, but I'm sick. I can't lift my children. How am I supposed to clean my house? And the voice went on, open up all the doors and windows of your house and clean it. Top to bottom, bottom to top, whichever direction you want to go. I'm making that part up, but it sounds good. So, I'm doing all this. I placed my faith in it. I need to place my trust in it. She cleaned her house. And by the end of the day, she had perspired all of it out of her. And the lungs were clear. That deepened her trust. And a few months later, somewhere within the next year, again, not feeling so great. I'm doing everything. I know I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And they said, did you make a list of all your flaws? And she said, yes, I made a list of everything that could possibly, and I can't find anything. And they said, now make a list of your assets, the things you think are great about yourself. And she found pride. Pride was getting in the way of her healing because she thought, you're never supposed to show it when you don't feel well. You're not supposed to show it when you're upset. You're not supposed to show it. And so she had to learn how to experience her upset without splaying it all over the place, without becoming the upset, but having the upset. And it took a full 2 years. And then they couldn't find tuberculosis in her system. And she lived another 45 years, and we're all here this Sunday morning because of that. Because she had faith, and then she trusted enough to do it. And a lot of people have benefited from that as a result of faith and trust working together. It fascinates me how all this works. A couple of years ago, I got upset about something, and I heard the voice that said, Sean, you stay upset like this, you're going to get sick. Well, funny thing, I got sick. Not deadly sick, but I got a rotten cold. And I heard, you stay this upset, you're going to get sicker. And you know that voice was right. And it wasn't a scolding voice. It wasn't mad at me. It was my friend. It's like, knock it off, Sean, because you don't want to get sick. And I thought, you're right. And then I read a passage from the 12 Steps of Recovery, the big book of 12 and 12, it said, acceptance is the answer to my problems today. Acceptance. Well, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to accept that this just is, and it doesn't mean anything of what you think it means. I want to be right. But I didn't want to be sick. And I was upset with one particular person. And so they asked me to read it in the front of the group that day, that passage. And I thought, okay, I hear you loud and clear. And I wrote to this person and I said, look, here's the deal. I don't have the power to forgive you because I don't have the power to judge you. As far as I'm concerned, there's no problem between us. We're never going to be friends, but there's no problem. And peace, kind of like, peace be with you. And she wrote and thanked me, and I got well. I got well very quickly. I paid attention to that. I had faith that if I write to this person, I would be set free. I trusted enough to do the writing. And within that, there was no jabs, there was no, but you did. We both know what she did, and I don't like her because of it. I wouldn't want to hang out with her because of it. It was such a shock to my system what happened. Let me tell you what, no. But it suddenly didn't matter anymore what she had done. I was set free, and I set myself freer by letting her off the hook because there was no real payoff to this. I could keep telling myself the story if I wanted to. A minister friend of mine sent me this the other day. I think it's apropos for this. It's called The Man, Oh, I Met a Man Who Wasn't There. Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away. When I came home last night at 3, the man was waiting there for me. But when I looked around the hall, I couldn't see him there at all. Go away, go away. Don't you come back anymore. Go away, go away. Oh, please don't slam the door. Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away. In my mind is that little man. And I see him everywhere. And I wish I didn't. You know, when I'm in a state and I'm forgetting to meditate, why am I rhyming? I don't mean to. That was not intentional. It's on video. When I forget to meditate, when I forget to be kind, especially to myself, when I forget the generosity of spirit, I don't think I was here. We've had a neighbor in our new place, very noisy neighbor, to me, to him too. But it was really, a week and a half ago, it was really getting to me. I mean, it's like she paces all day long. She likes to vacuum at 8:30 at night. But it's up and down and up and down, right above our heads. Like no matter where I am in the apartment, she's above me. And I'm sure, I think it's just her. I don't think it's the whole family. But it's in the morning, early morning, to late at night. And it's not enough to be unlawful. It's enough to unnerve you. Oh, they have a dog too. That dog about 8:30 at night likes to race up and down the hallway. We have big apartments. And I thought, what am I going to do? Well, I turned to prayer. It got so bad, I prayed. And my prayer was an affirmation. And the affirmation is, every footstep is a step of love. And I haven't noticed the steps yet since. I hear it, but it doesn't matter anymore because every step is a step of love. I'm very impressed at this. It's like, oh, it works. You know, because every prayer, every activity of spirit is an exercise or a scientific experiment. Scientific experiment. That's what it all is because we are scientists. We are new thought scientists, and we are looking to see, if I put a little of this in the beaker and a little of this, what will happen? But I was so pleased. I'm so grateful, believe me. Every step is a step of love. Now, I've given other people these kind of affirmations before. I remember one, he feared answering the phone. It'd be a creditor, it'd be whatever, and I said, affirm now, every time the phone rings, only friends call me here. He got much more peaceful phone calls. He knew what to do with the calls. But imagine every step is a step of love. I can forget that so quickly, but I can remember it so quickly. That's the relief. I can remember just as quickly as I forget. It's my choice. I forgot this morning already. Now I'm remembering during the talk. Not about the neighbor, but something else. And say, I have no enemies. I have no enemies. I have faith in that, but do I trust that? My faith is very strong. It's my trust that needs working on. Because if I trusted I have no enemies, who would I criticize? Even myself. If I trusted as God is for me, nothing could be against me, would I work at defending myself or protecting myself? I have faith that if I go out in that street right now, there is only love waiting for me. But do I trust that if somebody looks a little shifty? Do I trust that if somebody makes a loud noise? Do I trust it if a car races by faster than they ought to? Do I trust it enough? One example I was given is I have faith that, what are they called? It's on the sheet. I can't remember what they're called. An aerialist, is it? Tightrope walker. Faith is that a tightrope walker can get on a bicycle and go on a wire 1,000 feet up. But would I get on the back of his bike and ride with him? There's faith and there's trust. I have faith that this chair, wherever it is, would support me. Do I trust enough to sit on it? Do I have faith that I am abundantly loved so much that I can treat everyone as if they love me, rather than holding them off with kid gloves for fear? I will offend them, I will hurt them, I will do this, and then they will hurt me back. Faith and trust. What's the difference? I think now we know. Eric sang this wonderful song about under the snow, there is life. Through the cold and the wind, there is life. You know, David wrote that wonderful song, you may have heard of it, Trust the Wind. And what does that mean, to trust the wind? Well, to me, it is, I have faith that if the wind blows, I will keep standing. Do I trust it enough to go out in it? And then, do I trust wisdom enough to go inside when it's going too hard? Do I trust enough to breathe when I forget to breathe? It's like, oof, oof, oof. Unity taught me I am loved and cannot not be loved. I was reminded of that this morning by someone who heard me say it recently, that I still remember that first Sunday at Lincoln Center, sitting in that chair and hearing Paul talk about Leviticus and all those abominations to man. And I thought, I'm not one of them. I'm not an abomination. And it doesn't matter who would tell me I am. I'm not. You know, that doesn't make them right. Someone can tell me I'm not good, and that doesn't make them right. And on my really, we'll call terrible days, I might tell someone else they're not good, and that doesn't make it true. What a relief. Isn't that the best? No matter what horrible thoughts I have about another human being, doesn't make it true. I can walk in peace with that. I can walk in joy with that. I know I've told you, this woman years ago at a support group, she came in and rant about her day, and then she said, but I know God's will for me is to be happy, joyous, and free. I was so pleased with that information because I hadn't known. Nobody ever said that around our house. When I was growing up, nobody ever told me God's will for you is to be happy, joyous, and free. No, they say God's will for you is to go to hell if you make a mistake. scare me into faith. And so I trusted that God wasn't for me. And I didn't step out into that for a long time, into changing that object of faith and then into trust. And I came to unity. And I'd already been working on it through recovery, but unity is where it told me, I am good and cannot not be good. And none of us can change that. And then I had to think, well, I guess the one over here is good and can't not be good. And the one over here is good and cannot not be good. I don't have to like their personalities. I need to know the truth. It isn't about knowing their personality that will set me free. It's knowing the truth. Capital T, truth. That which has no opposite. That's what sets me free. Now, I like what Grandmother New Thought. Myrtle's teacher. Emma Curtis Hopkins. Thank you. She said in her book, Scientific Christian, Mental Science, Scientific Christian. And she said, if by knowing the truth, one is set free, and one has known the truth and is not free, one has not known the truth. So that's how our gauge can be. Do I know the truth about this? Because remember, you can't describe the truth. To describe it is to limit it. But you can know it. And you can know that you know it. And if you know without a doubt that someone is beyond redemption and has no business being forgiven, then you have not known the truth. And therefore, you cannot be free. How do we know this? Because now you're lugging that person around with you all day long, in your mind and your body. And we get weaker and weaker and weaker. You know, we saw this wonderful video, this inspirational message to remind us we must know the truth in order to be free. It's not about setting everybody free. It's about knowing that I am free so I can look at you and know you're free, you're free, you're free, you're free, you're free, you're free, you're free. I don't want to hold you in bondage to any lack and limitation because of my thoughts. And that includes the best of us and what I would call the worst of us. The worst of us are never going to rise up if I keep holding them down. If I keep using my words and my thoughts and then my words to condemn anybody into misery. How do I get out of it? How do I get out of that misery? And it's hard what I'm asking us to do. It's very difficult. But to interrupt those thoughts, to interrupt that newscast, to interrupt your parents, to interrupt your Bible, to interrupt some of your best friends who are living in confusion, to say, I don't want to agree with you right now. I'm not telling you you can't agree with yourself right now, but I cannot afford to agree with you right now. Because I'm not going to like either one of us for very long if I do. And so, faith and trust. Faith is knowing that what I'm saying is on the money. Trust is interrupting the thoughts. Trust is interrupting the conversation. Trust is loving those who have forgotten and loving yourself when you're one of the ones who has forgotten. There is life in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of our being. We can have a healing that starts in mind, leads into the body, and we're all set free. Let's trust. Eric, come on back. Thank you all so much. Thank you.
There's a voice that's softly whispering inside my head, telling me I'm gonna be alright. It keeps saying, let yourself be led where you are led. Don't hold back, don't put up a fight. It tells me, trust the wind, breathe the air. There's a place you're meant to be and you're already there. Open up your heart and let life in. You know that you can always trust the wind. When the world starts doing things that I don't understand, and I search my soul to find a reason why, in the dark of night I feel somebody take my hand and tell me you don't even have to try. For you can trust the wind, breathe the air, and know that there are helping hands around you everywhere. Open up your heart and let life in. You know that you can always trust the wind. Dreams have wings, thoughts take flight. All good things are streaming toward us every day. They hear our prayers, they know the way. Let it take me on its wings and carry me somewhere. I'll open up my heart and let life in. I know wherever breezes blow, wherever winding rivers flow, I'm going where I need to go. I can trust the wind.